As you know, yesterday we started a conversation around the state of healthcare in the province, in the city, in the country, and some of the experiences and the concerns that were raised. We had to listen to some of them yesterday, we had to listen to some of them this morning, and I've got dozens more in experiences here in the WhatsApp line that we hopefully can get to a little bit later on. But we also thought it was important that we get the perspective of those who in authority, that perhaps have an understanding and perhaps have some answers to why the situation is the way it is for many people that experience and make use of public health care here in the city and in the province. And so following those conversations, we thought it would be fitting, as mentioned, to speak to the Chief Operating Officer of the Western Cape Department of Health, Dr. Sadiq Karim. Dr. Karim, assalamu alaikum. Shukran so much for your time.
Wa alaikum salam to everybody on the radio.
It's an absolute pleasure. Dr. Karim, to get straight into it, there's been a range of different issues that had come up, and I want to just quickly run through some of them. One was seemingly a situation in which healthcare professionals, nurses and doctors don't listen to patients, how they're feeling. We're talking about long wait times, particularly making use of emergency services, the process in terms of the way the day hospitals work, needing to make an appointment, etc., etc. Sometimes seeing the doctor, people having to wait long periods, people needing to literally budget for a hospital day so that they have adequate money to buy something to eat should they the time be extended. There's been concerns and experience shared, for example, around a mother that had to give birth on her own because the nurse didn't believe her when she said, "My baby's about to come." From all of the range of all of those complaints and all of those concerns that have been raised this morning, from your perspective as the COO of the Western Cape Department of Health, your response?
So yes, let me first of all start by let's start by acknowledging all the concerns. I mean, I think each and every concern is valid. And obviously the people's experience of the health system is particularly in cases where the experience has been negative or less than ideal, is not what we're aiming for, not what we strive for as a department. We obviously want people to feel that they've been treated with dignity, with respect, and that they got the care that they deserve. So that's to start off with. But I think there are some realities that we face in the public health system that are just compounded and get worse year on year, I guess. Because one of those issues are the service pressures. Our services, as people well know, are under significant pressure. I mean, yesterday, for example, released the statistics on just the festive season period, so the 15th December to the 15th of January period. EMS alone responded to 69,250 calls, and that included 23,400 life-threatening cases and 45,900 urgent but less critical cases. And our emergency centers were equally busy. We had over 120,000 people that came to our emergency centers over that one-month period, those 4 weeks. 120,870, actually. So the services are facing significant pressure. That's the first point. I think the second point and the second issue, obviously, is the impact of the budget cuts and the austerity measures that we've had to implement during most of last year. And that has had a significant impact because it's resulted in a number of posts that we've had to deactivate. Probably my throat. Number of posts that we've had to deactivate. And obviously that has an impact on the service offering that we've been able to offer to the general public. And obviously we've had to cut down and reduce some of the services, like, for example, surgical backlogs. And that also resulted in increased waiting times that people have experienced in our facilities.
I'm wondering then sort of how it is that we, as residents and those that perhaps make use of the public healthcare system should view it. And I must be honest with you, we did get some perspective and some really positive people sharing some positive experiences, whether it be at day hospitals, district hospitals, you name it, right? So it's not to say that there's a unanimous dissatisfaction around the experiences of the public healthcare system, right? So that must be acknowledged. There's also, I think, a relative amount of understanding by at least some of the engagement that we've received, that people understand, look, the system is under strain, there isn't enough resources, there aren't enough doctors, there isn't enough money, all of the rest. But at times, some of the concerns that are raised on top of those, acknowledgements is to say, for example, so why then can't the nurse just believe me when I tell them what I'm feeling? Why is it that, we are still, call it, being treated in a rude manner, in a rude fashion? We are disrespected when we go to these public health care facilities across the city and across the province. And because those are not necessarily things that are impacted by budget cuts. Those are not necessarily things that are impacted by, a strain on the system. Because it ultimately comes down to treating people with respect, doesn't it?
No, absolutely. I could not agree with you more. So having said all of that, it will never excuse poor behavior, poor attitude on behalf of both staff and obviously some patients actually as well. We have a service health charter that I can come to a little bit later of how people can register complaints. I'd like for people to know that. But you're right, it will never, shortage of funding or service pressure will never excuse a poor attitude. People have the right to be treated with dignity and respect. I mean, you might recall, and it doesn't matter whether it's, and some of our staff, when we do a recruitment and selection, by the way, the staff, obviously our staff, when we have shortages, we bring in locum staff. That still does not absolve the department's responsibility for making sure that people are treated with dignity and respect. So that's absolutely fundamental. And whenever we have these complaints, we take that quite seriously and we act on it, we investigate it, and we use it also as learning opportunities for further training and for further support to staff. And you're right, there have been many, many positive stories of people. I got an email yesterday from someone whose mother was admitted to Khrushchevsky Hospital via the emergency unit and ended up having a cardiac procedure, ended up having a bypass, actually. And, I mean, this lady wrote to me yesterday thanking the staff for what was essentially a positive, mostly a positive experience. She had one or two comments to make as well, obviously, about some of the staff, night staff particularly in that case, but I mean on the whole it was a positive email. So you're quite right. I mean, one takes the negative and the positive together, but like I said, to never excuse a poor attitude or bad behavior.
Speak to us then about the processes, that the internal processes that you have in terms of addressing some of the concerns. So I've had a negative experience, for example, and I was mistreated in my opinion or my view by a nurse, or screamed at or shouted at, so I want to, for example, make you aware of it at the Western Cape Department of Health. How do people do that?
Yes, I think it's quite important that people understand what to do. So you've had a negative experience in one of our facilities. I think one of the easiest things sometimes to do is just to go to the facility manager, the person who's in charge, or one of the supervisors, and talk to them and say, look, this is what has happened in my case, because it's far better to address it there and then. You know, because obviously then we can understand exactly what the issue was and we can address it immediately. So it's always better to do that first. If you can't find a facility manager, or you think about it afterwards and you think, well, actually I wasn't treated with dignity or respect, I want to register a complaint. Even while people are in the facility, they can send a please call me to a number that I can share with you if you want. Yes, people please. Can send that please call me to this number, 079-769-1207. So they can send it, please call me to that number as well. The third thing that people can do is phone, call. We've got a call center that will take these complaints, and I can share that number as well with you and the listeners. 0860-142-142. And then, of course, people can also email to a complaints line. And let me share that with people. It's service@westerncape1word.gov.za. So those are different ways in which people can register their dissatisfaction or compliments of the service. And we will take each one of these very seriously, because, like I say, ultimately, this could be one of our family members that needs care. It could be one of our family members who needs to have a cardiac bypass or needs to deliver in a hospital. And so we want to treat everybody with a dignity and care that people, dignity and respect that people deserve.
Yeah. Dr. Karim, let's also get to the state at times of the facility itself. Unfortunately, many of our public healthcare facilities, be it clinics or day hospitals, are not well maintained, unfortunately. And one can perhaps make an argument that there is a resource constraint that is essentially the result, or that's the result of a resource constraint. But some of the other issues, for example, that we have also received was issues about, like, the places being dirty, like the toilets being dirty, for example. What type of things, how does the health department, you know, view that, and how is that sort of managed and controlled?
So, yes, that also adds to, obviously, the overall experience that someone will have in a healthcare facility. You look at the cleanliness of it, or the fact that it's not properly maintained, well-maintained. And again, we try our very best. And like you say, it's resource-dependent. Many of our buildings are extremely old. They've obviously been built many, many, many years ago. And so maintenance becomes quite a significant and important issue. We obviously, from our side, we work with our colleagues at the Department of Infrastructure, but the maintenance responsibilities obviously sits with us. And so because the buildings are old and the budget is limited, we have to plan very carefully what maintenance we will do for the year, as well as what capital or infrastructure upgrades we can do, and that we plan many years in advance, actually. So, for example, we're in the process of planning these new hospitals for the metropole. As you know, Tigerberg Hospital is an extremely old building and is not suited to, well designed to patient care. And so we will be replacing the Tigerberg Hospital in the years to come. And then obviously we will, and people always talk about what happened to Eustace Hospital, and it's been afterwards thrown down in the service that he directed to other facilities in the metropole. So we're planning to build a new Tiffontein Hospital in that area, in that same vicinity where Eustace Hospital stood. But there's maintenance and infrastructure, also face resource constraints, but we do our very best.
Yeah. Dr. Karim, before I let you go this morning, I know you have to rush to a meeting, so I won't keep you too long. I just quickly wanted to know, finally, before we wrap up this morning, what's it going to take to turn this around?
Well, I think it's going to take a lot of effort from all of society. I mean, I know Premier, Minister, and Cabinet, and I mean, it's not just the health sector that faces these constraints. I mean, we've had the same constraints throughout the government and services in the province because of funding that comes, obviously, from the national department. But, I mean, it's going to take a collective effort on the whole of society, all of us. So, for example, and I've been on the radio during festive season period, appealing to people to say that if they don't have an emergency, an absolute emergency, rather not visit the emergency center, but wait to see if you can go to a community health center or day hospital as we know it. Mm. So there are things that the public can do to help us. And then obviously we remain committed as a government, and not just in the health sector, across the whole of government. I can guarantee that we are committed to ensuring that we are citizen-centric in the delivery of our services to the people of the Western Cape. But yes, the general public can help us by understanding that if they have a relatively minor complaint, and I know that obviously that's always subjective, but if they know it's a relatively minor complaint, rather than go to a hospital emergency center, we obviously need the resources to treat more urgent and serious cases, they could go to the clinics or community day health centers or day hospitals. I know the wait is long, and I know that there are pressures in the service as well, but we are trying the very best we can right across the whole spectrum of the health service in the Western Cape.